Podcast. Testing. No, I sound a bit... Hang on a minute.
Again.
Do. Si?
Yes?
Oh, I'm picking something up.
There's a buzz somewhere, isn't there?
What's this? So I need to look it right in the eyes. Is it better without that there? Can you talk, please?
Yes, I'm perfectly clear over here.
And Dean?
I am perfectly clear.
Over here!
You might want to, if you could just cuddle each other a little bit.
Move in, Dean.
Getting a little bit closer, Dean.
I have personal space issues.
Yeah. I don't bite, I only fart.
Just a touch. That was a touch.
Ask.
Right, if you could just put that arm there, just round his shoulders there, it'll help. Should we go with it? Ladies and gentlemen, to the new episode of Popcornography Podcast. Simon's got a ton of chocolate in his mouth, haven't you, Simon?
No.
We're missing a certain person this week.
Who?
Well, I'm here, Rick.
I'm here, Simon.
Good man. And I'm here, Angry John.
You don't sound very Geordie.
I'm here, Angry John. Where are you, man? Up the tune.
So it's Dean that's missing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, we
won't miss as much.
Are you all right?
Angry John.
Dean's riding a high at the moment, aren't you, Dean? We've just watched Lewis Hamilton win the F1.
We have. We've watched Lewis Hamilton win the F1, his fourth championship. And that is the reason.
It's the only sport we're actually decent at.
Yeah, that's what we like it. And that's what made John angry.
Whoa.
He did not come along.
That might be why there wasn't a podcast 2 weeks ago. Or last week. They've all fallen on a Sunday night, haven't they?
They've all fallen on the same night that we do our normal podcast.
You tools.
Well, that's not our fault.
But I tell you what, not only did we do well in the racing, we did well in the boxing.
We did.
Anthony Joshua.
He did.
Took his win, was it the 10th round?
10th round, stoppage.
Stoppage, which got a lot of boos. But he was winning by the points anyway, wasn't he?
He was. He was going to win. He was going to win.
Still, Brit. Woohoo.
Oi, oi.
Oi, oi.
I'm not a big sports person. To be honest, I couldn't care less. Got a lot coming up in this episode.
Be a bit buggered if you didn't like movies, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah. Why would I be sat here?
Yeah.
Why would I be bothered?
Yeah, they're all right.
Yeah. I don't know. This year... It tested it, I think.
You have whinged a lot about a lot of films.
It's annoyed me a bit this year. There's been a few good films. Some really good films, but...
Yeah, Jupiter Ascending was brilliant.
And it wasn't this year. So what are you talking about?
First thing that popped in my head.
But yeah, I don't know. It just seems to be a bit weak. And when I look forward to next year and see all the films that are coming out, it just looks a better year. And this year has been the lowest in ticket sales for about 24 years, I believe it is. So it's pretty bad for cinema as well.
Mind you, that is also down to ticket pricing, I would feel, on some things.
I don't think so. I don't think they've changed all that much over the last few years. They've just dropped right off.
Yeah, it's cost a fortune anyway.
I think you bring up a good point in that, because John said it and you said it last time a few podcasts ago, just to take a family along. A family along is so expensive now.
It has been for quite some time.
It's a lot of a family budget, though, when you...
Yeah, but over the years, like, 3-4 years ago, it wasn't too bad. We weren't feeling
so
squeezed.
Why is this, then? Do you think they're just upping up... Because the attendances are going down, they're knocking the prices up.
Well, I don't think it's that. I think it's also to do with the economical climate. Is that right? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, it could be.
You know,
but then again, I think that's been in a worse place than it is now.
I don't know how we're feeling in the pitch.
I mean, you know what I think the biggest thing is? Like, TV shows are getting bigger and bigger.
That's what'll be part of the reason. I mean, if they're paying for Netflix every month and they're paying other subscriptions, they think, well, that's the cinema money going at the TV shows.
You might as well stay in a nice
And people have got bigger TVs.
That's right. Technology's catching up with cinema. 4K.
Just people decide to stay at
people,
home.
If people buying 4K, we're really into movies, are buying 4K TVs. Yeah. Your screen is starting to look better than your local cinema.
That's the one thing I'm looking forward to, is purchasing my first 4K Blu-ray. Is that right?
What's this? Oh, for your Xbox X.
Yeah, I really want to see it. I've seen it on, obviously, like streaming, downloading, you know, but I want to see it in raw file format. I want to see if there's that difference. I want to see if there's that pixel.
Oh, I thought I was anal.
But I just want to see if there's that difference.
Yeah.
I'd be disappointed.
When are you getting this? Are you getting it on launch day?
Yes.
So you don't have to wait till Christmas?
No, my birthday, which is the 18th. Soon, so about a week and so later.
Oh, we're away that weekend, aren't we, Dean? But I'll come round if you don't mind, and I'll
certainly
have a little look. A little gander. Is your TV curved as well or not?
No. Just 55 inch of strobing.
That's the problem, right? I've got a 55 inch Samsung, right? And it's a beautiful picture. It's a really good TV. I do want 4K, but I don't know. Like, it's a lot of money just to upgrade, and I need to get all, like, again, you'd have to get the 4K Blu-rays, you'd need the player.
And don't get me wrong.
When I get a film, I want it in 1080p. I won't watch anything that's not high definition anymore.
But don't get me wrong. I mean, we never bought a 4K TV. I had a HD 1080p 3D smart TV, which broke. And then the bank company who fixed it couldn't get us the parts for the TV because the TV was 2 years old. Hmm. Didn't make the parts anymore for the Samsung TV. So they said we can just do
it. It was only 2 years old?
And it was only 2 years old.
Are you bothered, Dean?
No, doesn't really bother me that much. But
what do you watch at the moment? Do you do DVDs or do you stream anything?
No, just mainly Netflix and what films we watch as part of this podcast.
Yeah.
Do you not feel like, I don't know if it's just something wrong with me. I want to see something. If I see, like, if there's an opportunity to see something in better quality.
You're the one of these people who are the tech heads. You want to stay right up to date with everything. And I used to be like that. And I still am in a sense. But technology is moving so fast now. You just think, oh, like, you've been through it already. You've been through all that big change. From DVD to Blu-ray annoyed me. And I kind of filtered off a little bit because you've built up this big collection. And then all of a sudden, it's like you're starting again. Yeah. And it's a lot of money. And I don't know, part of me just thought, I'm staying up to date with everything's just, it's a lot of effort.
Yeah, I do agree, because now I feel like we've got all these Blu-rays, and now I want to move on to 4K.
Yeah, they're going to mean now.
Do you know?
Does it upscale them?
Yes.
Yeah. Even Blu-rays?
It says it does, but that's it, I don't know.
It all depends on the screen size, like you were saying before. The bigger screen size, the more quality you need, and how far away you sit from the TV is how much you're going to notice it.
But I have also seen, like, I've got a 55-inch TV, looks gorgeous, but then I've seen some similar spec on a 40-inch, and it looks like the dynamic range looks crystal clear.
It'd be better, just a better.
It just seems to be, I don't know, it bugs me now to think, if I got something wrong with me that I need to, I struggle to put the TV in movie mode because I don't want to compromise on the dynamic range settings. So, like, it's all vibrant, it's in your face. And I think, come on. And I know, but the big movie people listening, they'll be like, no, you need to watch it in a movie setting. Because then you get what the director intended for the...
I still prefer the cinema experience. The only thing that lets us down sometimes is who you're with at the cinema with. Like, who's sat behind you, sat in front of you with the phones out and talking. Yeah. And during Thor, which we're reviewing in this episode, we had some lad behind us farting in all the quiet moments.
Nice.
Which he thought was hilarious. But that kind of, I don't know, it annoys. But you know, the cinema as well, though, it does stop you going on your... Even I do find myself sometimes watching a film, if it's not really grabbed me, I'll sneak my phone out. I might start having a little look on Facebook.
Amy does
and
that.
It really pulls you out the movie. And when I see people doing it, it annoys me. But in the cinema, I do not do it. And I think because you're in that place and you're tuned in And obviously you get bollocked if you do.
Yeah.
Get your phone out. So I still prefer going to the cinema.
See, I'm like that at home though. Like if I'm watching a film at home, I'll tune out. Kids can be killing each other.
It depends on the film. Like if it's a good film, it keeps my attention. I'm not going on my phone. It's just sometimes I'll, you know, with this, and I'll review it as much as I can. Like there'll be the odd film that's a bit meh. Yeah. Or, you know, you'll just halfway through it, you think, ah, this isn't that good. But I'll still try and get through it.
Yeah. See, even with It last night, even though I was proper scared and, you know, like, thinking what's going to happen, I was glued. I was watching it from start to finish. Whereas Amy, as soon as she felt like someone's going to jump out, phone was out, there she is, check Facebook.
She's like,
what are you doing?
Scared from it a little bit.
What are you doing? Well, I'm just having a look. No, we're watching this. Yeah. Get it turned off.
Anyway, we went off on a bit of a tangent there. But yeah, we've got reviews for Thor Ragnarok. I've seen that, what the hell is it called? Geostorm.
Your face didn't look good there.
We'll get on to that. We've got our crew review, which was a British film, and the winning film was Shaun of the Dead.
Yes!
Edgar Wright. Which was Dean's. Well, it was my choice.
It was my choice. Wasn't it, sir?
It was my choice. It was my choice.
My choice.
Stole a win there. but yeah, and then we'll choose our new one. And we've also got a little game as well, so we'll get cracking here. News.
Ooh, news. This news, Dean.
So we'll bomb through the news. We've got Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. A few pictures have come out of the original Jeep.
You were very excited to share them.
I always am anything Jurassic Park.
The original Jeep.
So it looks like they're going back to the island again. It's Tim's Jeep, the one that falls out the tree. So I wonder if they go back to that. Or it could just be sent, like someone might just put it out there to troll us. But they may be going back to that location for whatever reason. We know some of it's going to be on the island, but the majority of it I don't believe is. I think it's going to be on the mainland. And I think the main story is that there's a volcano going to erupt on that island. It's about animal cruelty and they should try and save them.
Yeah.
That might not be true, but a lot of the promotional material shows volcanoes and stuff. So,
but they can't do another super duper dinosaur on top of the super duper genetic crossbreeding dinosaurs. They've done it in
I don't think they'll be generic. Genetic ones.
Dinosaurs are cool enough. You don't need all these.
You're right.
Getting better and better and better dinosaurs every single time.
We do not need more teeth.
We got a trailer for Bright starring Will Smith.
Yes.
Directed by David Ayer, who did Suicide Squad and End of Watch. Looks good, doesn't it?
Looks very good.
Netflix funded. Straight to Netflix, isn't it?
Yes, 22nd of December.
Which scares me a bit. This is like a $100 million film funded to go, rather than straight to DVD, straight to Netflix with Will Smith in it. Like, this is another blow for cinema. There's another, like, that's a big film release. And I'd like to go to the cinema and
look
see
that.
Look
at the profits, though. Amazon and Netflix.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Is that, I thought it was a TV series.
No,
it's just a film.
It's a film, Netflix one.
Right. See, when I just presume Netflix, I just presume.
Yeah, you do. But it's full-featured film, so...
Brilliant. I'm looking forward to that.
Den of Thieves was revealed, which is like Police versus Crooks. Gerard Butler and 50 Cent out in January. And I made a Jurassic Park pumpkin and won the competition, my family competition. And it's incredible. Cheap. It's one of the greatest pumpkins ever made.
Hamster pumpkin.
I might be... biased a little bit. It's not a hamster. It looks like the T-Rex. I drew that.
It's got, it looks like a hamster with big cheeks.
And then cut it out. No, it doesn't. If you're listening to the YouTube version, right, I'll put the picture on there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I thought this might end up on your website.
And I'll put
you're
it on
so
my
website.
You're
so proud of it. You're putting it everywhere.
Yeah, I'm bad.
I actually thought it was going to be the backdrop, you know, the...
Oh, yeah.
You know, it normally has a black facade with the power button in the middle. It'll be just that pumpkin.
It's just that pumpkin. What, the main logo?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout. It's not a bad shout at all. But yeah, that's about the news. There's not been an awful lot, really.
No?
No.
It's a quiet time of year.
I guess so.
For movie news, we're starting to wind down, aren't we?
We are.
Starting to wind down 2017.
Meh.
Should we dive into the reviews then?
Why not?
Me and Dean, this week, past week, went to see Thor Ragnarok, didn't we, Dean?
I wonder who that was.
Chris Hemsworth, Kate Blanchett, Jeff Goldblum, Mark Ruffalo.
A whole week and a bit before America.
I know. It's not even out in America. Well, it
might
be
even out. Not even out.
By the time this podcast goes up.
No wonder you can't pirate it.
Now,
have you seen it, sir?
Have you seen it, sir?
No, I haven't seen it.
Of course he hasn't. so, we did an after credits review, and we were pretty positive about it, weren't we?
We really enjoyed
it. We gave it 4 stars.
Give it 4 stars.
Or power buttons, which is what I said.
Although we always give films 4 stars. Because I only go and see the decent ones.
Every film feeling has been... Has it every one of them been 4?
The one we gave Blade Runner 5.
I believe we did. Wow. We were like kind of 4.5, but we rounded up to 5.
Because it was such a unique film.
Absolutely gorgeous, that film. You'll love that, side.
I know, I'm looking forward to it.
Now, we've had a bit more time to think about it. Has anything changed in your mind?
From the after credits, nothing's really changed. I still really enjoyed it. It was an amazing movie. Loads of energy, loads of colour, loads of humour. A lot of people complained there was too many jokes in it. It was too much humour. Literally, you couldn't go 30 seconds without a gag or some kind of humour in the script.
It was very lighthearted, wasn't it?
It was very, very lighthearted.
Which is quite jarring if you're watching the trilogy. If you watch film 1, 2, and then this one, it's going to be weird.
It was, yeah. We were talking in after credits about the fight scenes, and we're talking about, you brought a good point about them being too short. A lot of the action, you just,
I don't think I mentioned
this, get into it, and then
this was when we were driving back home.
Oh, maybe we're driving home. Yeah,
it builds up, like the fights are good, but there's no real climax to, what's wrong with you?
Bit me lip.
There's no real climax to the fights. So there's a few little spoilers in this, so if you haven't seen it, it might be worth skipping forward 5 minutes or so.
Covering your ears, so.
Yeah. No, I won't. But, like,
I'll forget by the time we leave.
There's, like, the gladiator fight that it builds up massively in the trailers, and we all expect it. You know, we're going to find out who's stronger, Thor or the Hulk. And, well, we don't, do we?
No, it's sort of over before it starts. It's really
stopped.
Quick.
The fight stopped, and the whole crowd in the film are like, "Oh," and I'm sat there in the cinema thinking, "Oh, like, come on, that's bull."
It was just getting started, wasn't it? That was the warm up. That was the warm up round.
So I enjoyed what was there, but I was a bit disappointed. And then in the final stages of the film as well, that builds up and builds up, and it leaves most of it to your imagination.
It's most of the fights, to be honest. Like Hulk versus the Wolf, that's in the trailer as well.
Yeah.
That's quite short. It's so much action. They've got so many scenes going on. From the start of the movie to the end, that each scene is quite short. So it just keeps on going from the next to the next scene.
Who's Wolf?
No?
Who's Wolf?
There's like a big
wolf.
There's
like a big wolf.
It's in the trailer.
Oh, okay.
It'll have a name, but I don't know what it is. The plus points, though, Helena, she's brilliant. Like
sexy,
the villain, the
sexy
main villain
as hell as well.
Oh, gorgeous. Yeah. For her age as well. Kate Blanchett. and she's genuinely good. I mean, I think she could have had a bit more screen time and could have built her up a little bit more. But each character did get a good dollop of development, didn't they?
Oh, it was. Yeah, it was a really good movie. We're just being critical on the things that we're picking up on. But it was an amazing movie. It was entertaining all the way through. Fantastic for families. It was 12A, so a lot of young kids in that movie. There was kids probably about 6, 7.
Yeah.
That were in there watching it. But there's nothing really offensive in the movie.
For 12, yeah, that's quite surprising considering the last one was quite dark, wasn't it?
It was. This is as far away from dark as you can possibly imagine, isn't it?
Wow.
Even when he's literally going through hell, the end of Asgard and everything else, it's just so lighthearted and funny all the way through.
It is. I mean, the jokes, I mean, nearly every single one of them hit home. Like, there's only a couple that were a little bit, but, like, majority of them. And that's good for, like, a comedy.
Was this the one where they let Chris Hemsworth Improvise.
Yeah, they could all do it. They could tell the cast would just literally said, "Here's a scene. This is basically how you want it to go."
Mm-hmm.
Just go out there and do it.
I know they did bring that up before, a while ago, when they must have been shooting it. And then it was sort of like, everyone was saying how funny he actually is without actually trying.
Yeah, his comedy timing is brilliant. And it seems like criminal that it took the third film before they realised that and made him who he is. Cool. And there's a certain character in it that everyone I've talked to have seen it all mention. This character is Korg, I believe he's called. Voiced by the director. The director's we struggled with this before. Taka Wikikita. Do you know what? Doesn't matter. The director voices Korg, and he's like a British guy, isn't he? Is he British?
Yeah.
He sounded quite British.
Oh, was it like an Australian accent?
Oh, maybe. A mixture of... Oh. You know what? I could do some stat checking, but I can't.
New Zealand?
he's funny as... There's some brilliant scenes.
South African?
Maybe. They're just shouting nationalities out now.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
And he's... Like, every scene he is in, he steals it, doesn't he? He's the funniest one. And I said in the after credits, that's how you make sure you're in the next Marvel film. Make yourself one of the characters.
Yeah.
The director. So, I really liked him. Thoroughly entertaining film from start to finish. The only other issue is there's very little Pearl because the characters are like gods. They can get smashed through castles and through space and through fire and nothing happens. And you can get stabbed numerous times and it doesn't matter. It's like you don't really worry for the characters. There's no real threat. It's
she was still the best villain though that they've had in a while.
She was, but then. Didn't really see what happened. Like, it's all left a little bit. I don't know. It's just a bit anticlimactic, I think. Maybe. Would you say that?
Well, that's what you said at the start, wasn't it? A lot of the scenes you don't feel you get that full payoff. But having said that, the way it all smoothly blends in the story from start to finish is still an amazing film.
Mm-hmm.
Still worthy of the four. I haven't changed my mind.
You know what? I 100% agree. I closed up my review with saying Ragnarok is the child of confident filmmaking and the understanding of what the Thor franchise should have always been. It's the best Thor movie by a wide margin. It's one of the best Marvel sequels released so far. A fine addition to the ever-expanding Marvel universe. Does that sound fair, Dean?
That sounds fair.
Good.
And that's, yeah, maybe that's where Thor should have been right at the start, had the humour in it, a bit like Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Because they went away from that, didn't they, in the first two?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't as much humour.
It's very I'd say it's funnier than Guardians, and much better than Guardians 2, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've added a new system on our website as well, where if you read my review, you can actually click on the star rating you think that film has got, and then it'll like give an average. And right now it's sitting on bang on 4 as well, so it seems everyone's about agreed on that. So
cool,
good film. There's few films that I'll come out of a cinema and want to see again almost straight away. This is one of them. I do genuinely want, because it was so fun and it just flew over it, the runtime. I would happily sit and watch that again straight away again, definitely.
It got quite a few laughs in the cinema as well, as you should expect.
Whereas Blade Runner, we gave 5. I wouldn't have sit through that again yet. I'd have to give it some time.
Yeah. That's a slow burner. That's one you've got to sit and absorb.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. You left me a lot there.
Yeah. And then I've reviewed Geostorm, which stars Gerard Butler.
Geostorm.
Abby Cornish.
I can't wait, mate.
Ed Harris.
Oh, I like him.
Now, Ed Harris is good in anything. He needs a decent performance. Gerard Butler, he does a good performance. However, he doesn't suit his role at all. I mean, he's supposed to be one of the brainiest men in the world. He's a scientist. He doesn't look like that, does he? He doesn't fall in that category. I mean, you could argue, why would you fall into any kind of category, depending on like how clever you are? But it just doesn't seem right.
You always see him as like a rough and ready, don't you? Rather than...
Yeah. Now, he's got a brother in this, played by Jim Sturgis, and he's got no charisma at all. He is the most dullest guy in the world. Why he is like almost equal to Gerard Butler in this film is criminal. Like, oh, he's like, when you're watching him on screen, it's like paint drying. He's shit.
Oh, God.
He really is.
He did.
First one.
Yeah, first look one. At that. First swear in the podcast. John's not here. We'd have had about 30, 40 of them by now.
We were doing so well.
He's our Hulk, isn't he? Now, the relationship between the brothers is a really big plot point in the film. And it's like most... You've seen it before in other disaster films. They try and build this an emotional connection with the characters.
It's all,
and
make always character-driven, yeah.
And disaster no movies. One cares. You go in to see this film to watch the special effects. You want to see waves hitting cities. You want to see planes falling out of the sky. And it's all just filler, all that emotional crap. Do you know what I mean? But there's a few scenes as well with the security officer girl, played by Abby Cornish. She's actually really good in it, but some of the scenes she's in go a little bit over the top, and it turns in more into like a Die Hard film, and straight away it doesn't really match. It's just a bit of a wishy-washy type of movie, really. And if you've seen a disaster film, you've already seen this film. It does nothing new.
Yeah.
I'm sure certain scenes in this film, they've literally just copied and pasted from 2012. Like, literally, let's take that, change the tone a bit, add some different buildings... And just rehash it.
The special effects are not worth going to see it at the cinema, would you say?
I think if you want to get the most out of this film, you'd have to see it in the cinema. I think on TV it'd be even worse.
Really?
Because you're going to see it for the special effects.
Yeah.
And even then, the majority of the time, they're really good. But there is a couple of scenes that are really bad, and it pulls you out. There's a scene where you're looking at a woman running across a road, getting chased by like a frost storm, and the animation is just all wrong, and it looked awful. But then it's followed up by this plane falling out of the sky, which looked incredible. So it's like, it's just not consistent at all. It also doesn't really explain why you've got satellites that, yes, they can control the weather, but why would you have satellites that can cause like tidal waves, tsunamis, and be able to freeze stuff? Surely they wouldn't have that power, but I understand why they have to in this film.
Plot device just became something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To look.
So yeah, the thing I heard about it was they created the system to stop, was it severe weather
events? It was trying to control them, yeah. And then near the end, they bring up this timer counting down to a geostorm disaster, and it's just cheese. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see... We're getting to that point now where we just need to see some new stuff. You can't get away with just... That whole timer ticking down thing, it was done back in, like, what was it, 80s? And it's just a really cheap way of doing stuff. A
timer?
Any kind of timer. You know, like a bomb ticking down. And yeah, it's got this big thing counting down to a geostorm happening. And it's like... It means that there's all these storms going off, and at a certain point, they all kind of connect to become one giant storm or something.
Right.
But it's just rubbish. It doesn't make any sense in the film. You can't get the second before a geostorm happening, and then it all just disperse and everything will be all right. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
The planet's not just going to go instantly back to normal. Is that... Yeah?
Yeah.
I finished that off with saying, like... Geostorm didn't try anything different in the genre, which is quickly becoming quite stagnant. Special effects were the main draw of these types of films, but they are now so prominent in Hollywood that the wow factor is somewhat diminished. So we've already, like, do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
You see it in every film. If you head into this with your brain turned off and a hunger for some large-scale destruction, then there's a lot of fun to be found here. Just don't expect a suntan.
Oh,
it's
God.
Just a really bad ending.
Yeah, so I read that. Yeah. I read that and I was like, oh no. He brought it in. He brought a pun in.
I always have to do that. That nearly as bad as how... It's like, that pun was as cheap as the film. Luckily, I do love my disaster films to an extent. Like, well, I still hunger for them. Like, Independence Day and... Day After Tomorrow. I really like them films.
Yeah.
So I do go into these disaster films hoping to get something similar. It's just I keep getting disappointed. 2012 is
rubbish.
Just
tired. I'm tired of them.
Yeah.
See, I don't mind them, eh? I don't mind how cheesy they get. I love them. I do. I keep clambering for more.
Mm. More disaster.
More disaster.
More chaos.
That's San Andreas.
San Andreas, yeah. Yeah,
I love that. That was brilliant.
It wasn't that bad, actually.
I skipped through it. I got bored of it.
Did you?
Yeah.
I think it was that Alexandra Daddario, or whatever she's called, that kept me entertained in that. Like, she's beautiful. I think that's the only thing that really kept me clued in on it.
The Rock.
Yeah.
Well, that's the reviews. Should we get into our little game? Right, so, are you excited?
Oh, I am buzzing.
Basically, Dean versus Simon. We take it in turns. You get one, Dean. You have 30 seconds to listen and then give us your answer. We're going to do, I reckon, four each. One of which is designated hard.
Oh, great.
Rock hard. Basically, you hear a film theme tune, you then tell me what the film is. 2 points if you get it. If you don't get it, you can steal for one. Deal?
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Okay. So, Dean, are you ready for your first film?
Yeah, you're talking to me, you'll hear it like...
Dean, do you know what that film theme tune is?
No, I've forgotten.
Do you know where it's from?
Beverly Hills Cop.
That is correct, Dean. 2 points.
Well done.
Well done, Dean. Simon, are you ready? Oh.
Mars Attacks.
Is that your final answer?
No, Ghostbusters.
That is correct. Dean, question two.
Tinkerbell.
Is that your final answer?
I don't have a clue what that is.
No idea what that is. No. Oh, so a possibility here for Simon to steal.
I'm going to say Home Alone.
That is correct.
Yes.
Simon steals Home a point. Alone.
Was Home that the Alone. Theme tune?
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that since it literally came out.
Yeah, neither did I, Dean. I'm not that old either.
Somewhere in my memory, I believe that song is called. There you go.
I wouldn't have known that
you
was from
to
Home
dig
Alone.
Deeper like that. I was struggling. It was that, and I was thinking it sounded a bit like a horror as well at first. Yeah. I thought it was going to be
right. Simon,
one
second for you.
Full Metal Jacket.
This is a song that's in the film. No?
Full Metal Jacket, that's no, about incorrect. I don't know.
Dean, would you like to try and pinch a point back?
Not a clue.
No idea? That is from The Jungle Book. Colonel Hathi's March. Where he joins the elephants in a walk through the jungle.
Oh, right.
Oh, no points there.
It did sound very kiddie.
Yeah, I just...
I was thinking what kiddie film could it be from?
Your third one, Dean.
I wasn't far off then.
Are you ready?
Dude.
Do you know what it is, Dean?
I do.
Your answer, please.
Indiana Jones.
That is correct, me.
Do you know what? I was going to say Superman at first. Ooh. Ooh, I'm glad I didn't get that one.
Oh. All right, well done, Dean. Do you have any idea where that is from?
I think, and I'm hoping, right, it's going to be the film The Great Escape.
That is correct.
Oh, thank God for that. Do you know what I thought? It's going to be something like Chicken Run.
That's correct. Well done. Right, we're going to have a hard one.
A hard one.
Oh, this is it.
Rock hard.
Get it up there.
Right. So, now it might not be hard. Because if you know the answer, it's not hard, is it? So it's just, these are ones that I think could be a bit tricky. Okay. Any idea what that song is from, which film it's featured in?
Not a clue.
No.
No. School of Rock.
Incorrect, I'm afraid. Simon, do you want to try and steal?
Is it Mission Impossible?
That is incorrect.
I'm going to kick myself because I've heard it. I know I have heard it.
Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Kill Bill.
Oh, well. No, I wouldn't have guessed that, though.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it.
You've not seen it?
You've not seen Kill Bill?
Wow.
Right.
Not seen it.
Simon, your hard question. Whew, falling asleep there.
He was lost in it.
I was. I was right in that then.
It's not Forrest Gump, is it?
It is. It is Forrest Gump.
Oh, do you know what? I thought he had.
Wow. Well done. Oh, I think Simon's done this.
Scratch me memory brain cells.
Your memory brain.
Wow.
Scratch me memory brain.
Yeah, I need to go and have a lie down because that took it all out with me.
Dean.
That was hard, that.
Ready for your final one? You know? Simon, do you want to try and pinch?
I hope I'm with you. I verse you every time, Dean.
So many films I haven't seen.
I don't know this one myself, but I'm going to have a guess. It's not a Christmas film, is it? Miracle on 34th Street?
Incorrect, I'm afraid. That was Bambi.
Oh, right. Not everyone have got that.
You're a little bit off here. Yeah,
I was thinking old cartoon kids film because the quality of it you could tell.
Yeah, I was just thinking about was it Christmassy.
And Simon, your final one, but you've actually won it. But should we just do it anyway?
Go
just
on, nice let's see if we can get it. Avengers, is it?
No.
Sounds very superhero.
It does sound quite Avengery.
It's Robocop.
It is Robocop.
Oh, Dean!
Dean, well done. Gets a steal. 2 points behind, I'm afraid, Dean. So, Simon, you win.
Holy cow, I've actually won something.
Yeah, we'll have to remember you've won one. Well, I'm sure you'll remember. So we've got that game for a few episodes to come.
Cool. I mean, that was quite hard, actually. When you were saying some of them were harder than the other hard one.
I don't know. There is a few tricky ones. There's some very easy ones, which, you know...
You were playing Rick and Morty before as well, weren't you?
Yeah, I was actually.
Didn't you?
Have you seen Rick and Morty?
No.
I've just started watching it. It's brilliant.
This is cartoon.
I've only just started watching it. I'm on like episode 6 or something now. But the first couple were all right. I still laughed. They were good, but they get better and better and better.
Get crazier and crazier.
They do, honestly. And like the third episode, I think, is a Jurassic Park one, which was like, yeah, you got me. So it's so
funny. What is
funny.
It, though? What are they?
It's a bit like the characters out of Back to the Future. It's a play on that.
Yeah.
But he's sort of an anti-hero. He loves his science and stuff, but he also does some really questionable moral stuff as well.
And it's proper adult. The one I've just watched, he got a sex doll and he made it pregnant. And it's just all very weird. And it's all about feminism and how women should rule the world. And,
yeah.
But what I love about it is it like really trusts the audience, doesn't it, with certain jokes. There's little tiny jokes that they quickly gloss over, which leaves me laughing my head off while it carries on. Like... It's really hard to explain, but watch it, Si. I can't believe it took me so long to get into this. Yeah.
Is it in how many series is it?
Which one's just finished? Season 3 or 4. I'm going to double check.
It's very geeky cartoon as well. Loads of sci-fi and stuff in it.
Loads of time travel,
all kinds
Inceptions in it as well, isn't there? When you go inside a dream of a dream.
My mate watches it at work, and I always think, what are you watching? Well, I've never actually questioned it. I have heard of it, though.
Jurassic Park's a theme park built inside a dying man's body.
What?
It is weird. And there's a bit where this monster comes out of the water, and he's like, don't move. His vision's based on movement. If you don't move, he can't see you. And then he just eats one of them. He's like, no, that's a T-Rex. We're all going to die. Amazing. So that was the game. Now, a new little feature. It's a very short feature. And that wasn't actually my decision. It was the way it got reviewed. But we've got a review for a classic film. This week's was Jurassic Park. It's by a lad who had never seen Jurassic Park ever. And I thought, I can't miss the chance of hearing what someone thinks of a film that came out decades ago. It's our talking black guy. Roll it. It's an honour and a privilege to be joined by the one and only. Can I call you the talking black guy? Can you, that be your name? We can do one of these every time we watch a film, right? So you just watched Jurassic Park for the very first time. First time in your life, yeah?
First time in my life. In my whole 28 years of living.
Did you like it?
I loved it. It was good. I haven't lived until today.
It's like you were made, like you've evolved. You were extinct. And now you exist.
I guess I've been born again.
That was good, wasn't it? That was alright.
Wow.
Short to the point.
You knew exactly where it was going with it, though.
It did. It did.
You knew exactly where it was going.
Crew review. Ready?
Yeah.
Crew review. It was British films, and the choices were Snatch, which was yours, Simon.
Yes.
Shaun of the Dead, which was Dean's and mine. Mine was 28 Days Later, and John's was Trainspotting.
Yes.
He wasn't happy, was he, John?
Again.
He's not happy with his vote system.
He's not happy, is he? He's just not a happy man. He'll win one eventually. He may even win this one, and he's not even willing to argue for it.
Has he picked one yet?
We'll do that in a minute. Uh-huh. We haven't thought of it. We'll do our review, and then we'll do it.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, Shaun of the Dead won by a landslide. And rightly so. It is a fantastic film.
I didn't realise how old it was. 2004.
I know.
Yeah.
2004, that's a long time ago now. I was thinking, oh yeah, it's about... Maybe about 8-9 years ago, but it's over 8-9 years ago.
But it's a proper British film, isn't it?
Yes.
And the whole, like, let's get to the pub and everything about it. And there's a little Easter egg, remind me to tell you. I noticed an Easter egg at the end. So, general thoughts, Si, what did you think? Don't give it all out, but what, you know.
Brilliant. There you go. Absolutely brilliant. Loved it. From first time I watched it, second time, same again. Loved the whole comedy zombie factor.
Dean?
Oh, yeah. I absolutely love it. The only thing I like about it, right, is that right from the off, right from the start, it really feels like a British film.
Yeah.
You know, you can see the British streets, the British cars, the British shops.
Yeah.
And I just
right. You can relate to it straight away.
Exactly, kind of. Exactly. And I just knew I was gripped from the moment that he just gets up in a daze, walks out and doesn't realise what's going on around him.
It's amazing. Well, it does that scene first, normal, yes. Like world. And then he repeats the exact same scene where everyone's... But it's so clever because in a way we are all completely switched off to what's around us. So many people would probably do that. You wouldn't notice unless you did kind of catch in the corner of your eye someone eating someone else's brains or something.
Yeah.
Like, you would just keep your head down, walk straight to the shop, not question much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone lives in their own little world.
Just touching on that scene though, right? I've always picked up, and I don't know why, but when the world's normal,
yeah.
He walks past and Pete's car is a Renault Laguna red or burgundy or whatever it is. And he walks past and the badge is not on it. There's no badge. Goes to it, goes back. And then when he goes back for the second day, the badge is there.
This is what you pick up when you have a 4K yeah. TV.
Yeah.
4K TV.
Do you know what?
See it on my rubbish 1080p.
No.
55 inch. I didn't notice that,
Simon. I picked
Simon.
This up the first time I watched it, right? And I was like, I don't understand why. And I don't. It's probably why I kept remembering it. I don't know why it's there. I don't know why.
Only the important things in a review. You cover.
You were saying, notice these things. You notice the cameraman in Jaws. You notice because he's got these massive big screens. That's about 5 miles
it's like
long.
He's in there all directions. In the film, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like he was there on the day.
So really, all your TV's doing is making errors more obvious.
It really is,
it's actually
isn't it?
Reducing your enjoyment of film side. Yeah. You're picking
well,
up
no, I still enjoyed it, but it's just one of those things that I picked up the first time, and the second time is just blatantly obvious as well. But you know, I mean, it makes no difference. I just wondered why. In a scene that's filmed, like, why did they take the badge off?
I would never have noticed that.
And then why is the badge on it? On a car? I just don't get it. Because obviously, I could understand it if they weren't allowed to show, like,
yeah.
logoed stuff, which
but
I don't.
Then it to appear.
Thanks, really, I can't unnotice it now. I'm yeah. just going to, every time I watch
when
it.
You watch
I'm
it when you watch it, look back, the Renault Laguna badge is missing. Right. And then it appears.
yeah, the comedy is brilliant. Again, it trusts the audience. There's the bit where, when they first discover, they realise there's zombies because there's that girl in the garden. Then they go out and he takes his little wind-up camera, yeah. his little disposable camera with him, and he's taking photos. And then they push the girl over, who goes through the pole. She then stands back up again, the camera brilliantly swoops through so you can see through her body and see their expression.
Yeah.
And then you just hear him winding the camera back up. It's just little comedy bits like that just make this film.
I love that point as well. And I love that point where when they go through Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, instantly, they're fitting. It's Nick's face where he's like, ooh, and he bites his lip and he's like looking like, oh, damn. And Simon's like, oh, no, what have I done? So that sort of thing. But that yeah. chemistry that them two have got.
Yeah.
Really put work.
You can tell
so
like they're
well.
Like best mates, can't you? And like yeah. you said, there's certain bits in it that remind you of
yeah.
how we used to be when you used to like live around my house.
Personal comedy gags, I'm going to call it, where you can relate to
yeah.
some of their gags,
yeah.
where you think, oh yeah, no, yeah, we've done that before.
Sorry,
yeah.
sorry, Simon.
Yeah. Ah, jeez, Rick.
Yeah.
Yeah, love it.
Anything more to say there, Dean?
It's just a good film all the way through, isn't it? From start to finish, just all the different scenes, and also in the bar scene as well, when they're in the bar, and then all the other zombies turn up. When he goes and gets his parents as well,
with Queen blasting out over the
jukebox. and you think he's going to save his parents when you watch it the first time. You know, it all horribly goes wrong.
It's not just his battle with the zombies; it's him trying to save his relationship. He's battling with. Trying to stick up for his mate who is
friendship,
an
yeah.
idiot,
yeah,
isn't he?
You think his friends? You think his friends are going to make it? You think he's going to kill these characters that are all going to make it? But then, yeah, it doesn't always go the way you think it's going to go throughout the movie with his parents, his friends.
It's the way I think of life as well, right? You're stuck in a mundane mode. What was it?
Mundane,
just kind of going to work, doing it, going home, like repetitive nature, and then something like that happens, and he becomes who he needs to be. Like, he's a leader, isn't he? And he wins back his girlfriend and stuff. Part of me, on some days, especially on Mondays, kind of wish for something like that to happen in the world. I don't want the world to end. I do sometimes think, just want a little bit of excitement. I want something to happen.
And you do feel when you watch this film, and it is you, it could be you in your local estate.
Yeah.
You can sort of recognise that. Everything about it. But he goes and gets his girlfriend, like you said. He has his cricket bat, doesn't he? And he's running up to the window. He's going, whacking him over the head.
And the car with the dad. Yeah, and then again, the relationship with his stepdad, played by Bill Knightley.
Bill Knightley, that's it.
I love him as an actor. And even in Love Actually, he's like one of my favourite characters in there. He's just got one of them faces that was made for comedy, you know?
Yeah, he's good. I like him.
And the relationship between them two, how that develops throughout it to an extent, and then he obviously tries to eat them. But yeah, Simon Pegg, really good job in this. Nick Frost, Lucy Davis, which, I mean, she came from The Office, didn't she? She was in The British Office. She's actually in Wonder Woman, so she's still going strong in Hollywood. The girl in the one who's with I think it's Dylan Moran, David.
Oh, yeah.
You know, who I think they're in a relationship, aren't they?
Yeah, yes.
He fancies his girlfriend, Liz, played by Kate Ashfield. And you've got so many different little character bits. There's always something happening, isn't there? Like, you're just glued to the screen.
Yeah.
It's fast-paced, quick-edited. It's, yeah.
And I liked all the characters. Is like, there's never, even though David's supposed to be this arrogant, jumped up little student, he's got such a dry sense of humour. He's got a dry tone, but I've seen him in other things where he's got a dry sense of humour, and you can sort of see him, and he's brilliant in it. But even Pete, the lad upstairs, you know,
he's actually called Pete.
Is he?
Yeah. I'm not going to say his surname. Well, I am. Sir Ann Finowicz.
So him, yeah.
Him.
He was brilliant in it as well. You know, when they're coming back and playing the music to loud. Oh, man, it's just a bit of music. It's 4:00 in the morning.
Yeah. Which, again, like us, we were like that. 2:00 in the morning, blasting out
your
techno.
Life out.
Yeah. I think that's maybe where we come, because we can relate to it so much.
That was in old Time Master days. That.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? It was. Edgar Wright, though, the director, he just knows how to make a good film. I mean, I know that this is the first of his Cornetto trilogy, and the second one, the Hot Fuzz, I still really like. World's End was a bit weaker for me, but then Baby Driver's amazing, which isn't obviously part of this trilogy. But he's such a good director, and he knows how to like keep you entertained throughout. Quick, sharp, clever. Such a good film.
Definitely, I think Simon Pegg did a good write on that.
And right at the end on the news, I heard them like say rumours that it was caused by rage-infected monkeys have been proven incorrect or something. Now, my choice of film was 28 Days Later. What started the virus and everything was rage-infected monkeys, and it was a nod to that film, and I thought that was a nice little Easter egg. There's probably a lot more Easter eggs in there, like a disappearing car manufacturer badge.
Yes.
Loads of little Easter eggs in there, which I probably missed. But, you know, he dots his films with little Easter eggs.
Like. He does. He likes stuff like that as well. Mm-hmm. He even said that in an interview, likes Easter eggs.
Yeah.
There's something about films like that I really enjoy, just where it is just normal people going about their everyday lives, and all of a sudden just shit just happens. It all just kicks off.
Yeah, it was really good. So, out of 5... It's only fair. You won, Dean, so you choose. What would you, do you reckon?
Out of five? I'm going to be patriotic. I'll give it a five. I'll give it a five, actually, because I don't think it did much wrong for what it was.
The thing is, with our crew reviews, we're always going to be quite highly rated, I'd have thought, because these films have won a vote. And the reason why it won in the vote is because it's a good film. People enjoyed it. So, I agree. Five out of five. Because for a comedy, it's exactly what I wanted it to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Completely agree. Five again. Lovable characters. Great story, plot line.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's kept all the way through the film. I don't feel like I get bored.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, brilliant. Definitely worth the five.
Wonder what John would have said.
He probably would have gone.
Wait, wait, man, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Just because Chainspotting didn't win, so you probably for that I'm giving it a four.
You probably hasn't watched it.
You people know nothing about films.
Yeah. You want to get your audience sorted out. They need to grow a brain. And John.
But we love you, John.
Well, we do. We miss you, John.
Yeah, and obviously, you can't defend yourself. That's why we're taking me.
Although we're getting through this podcast quite well, didn't we?
Yeah, right. Richard Swarby for you.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. So it brings us on to next week's. Now, if you're listening to this on YouTube, we don't go into it on YouTube. Jump into the podcast and we choose it in that. So this week we're going to be choosing. Drum roll, please. Your face doing that. Bruce Willis movies.
Da-da.
Ooh.
Die Hard. I'm joking.
I was just going to roundhouse him with his
question. As Dean won the last one, he's last to choose. I think that's a fair option, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, Simon, would you like to go first?
Oh, I certainly will. And I love this film, as you can all probably gather from my Twitter feed, what you've shared.
I think it's what my Jurassic Park is to me, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I'm going to be going for The Fifth Element.
1997.
Oh, yes. Brilliant space film. It's got some good humour, very good sci-fi. I tell you what, it must have had a hell of a budget as well, because the effects on it was brilliant. I watched it a few years back, and I used to watch it day in, day out, and just constantly on repeat. I don't know what it is about that film. I really love it. I love the music score.
It's been a very long time since I've seen it. The only thing I really remember is the opera bit.
Yeah. But again, that was one of the first films I've ever seen where they did it to music beat, and it was like, dun, dun,
yeah,
dun.
Oh, it was impressive. Like
she's like, flirting around.
I actually wanted to. Like, I'm sure I downloaded it somehow, like through LimeWire or some ridiculous
Bear
Share. Yeah. Audio Galaxy or something like that.
But yeah, it is one of my all-time favourites. And if I could ever bring it up into a crew review, it will be popping up.
Good stuff. John isn't here, but he will be having his say. Just not in the podcast. It'll go up as a vote for the film on Twitter.
So you're not going to get no argument from this point now. So whoever picks one, no one's going to argue with.
If you like to vote on these, keep an eye on my Twitter account. John's will be the one that we haven't said, basically. My choice. Now, I did want to go. Like, Die Hard's too obvious. That's why you joked about it. I would say it's his best film. But I have watched it a gazillion times. Anytime you turn the TV on, it seems to be on.
Yeah, it does.
Do you know what I mean? And we will be doing like a Christmas film one as well. And that'll be in there. So that might come up then. Oh, it might get voted for.
Maybe we should just pick it, like, do a Die Hard crew review, and we all pick a Die Hard film.
Yeah.
Out of the seven that he's got out or something.
There's five. One's terrible, so it would just be for all five as well.
There we go.
I do still think the original's the best. Vengeance is also amazing. And I quite like four. Second one was me. But anyway, I'm going off. I'm going to go with Sixth Sense, just because it blew me away. The twist at the end shocked me more than any other film had ever done. And the weirdness, the quirk, like M. Night Shyamalan, the director, he progressively got worse. I mean, I quite like Signs. Unbreakable was all right. But this was his standout film. This is what got him recognised. Fantastic performances from both Bruce and the lad in it.
I saved people.
Yeah. It's such a good film. It's just got that little bit of creepiness about it, hasn't it? It's got this weird vibe throughout the film. And I love it. And I got that moment at the end where you're like, that realisation twice, because somehow I forgot about it. And when I watched it the second time, I'd completely forgot. How do you forget that?
I forgot about it again. So actually, I see where you're coming from, but I completely forgot.
But you have to forget about it again, because if it wins...
Yeah, it won't have that same effect now, but...
To forget that... Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my choice, Dean. What's yours?
Well, I would argue, don't listen to these two people. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. They just said there that they've just forgotten and then just remembered. So what's the point of watching that one again? And Fifth Element's good as well. But, you know, do we really want to be watching that? So,
yes,
you've got to choose a winner. And the winner's going to be Armageddon, isn't it? No, I'm joking.
I was just going to dive over this table there, Dean. Oh...
I don't want to miss a day.
I just don't like this. I've got a feeling John will choose that film, and I just can't. I just don't like it.
And if you're playing to win, you would choose Die Hard.
Do you know what? I do. I actually like it. I do.
It's horrible.
I do like it. It's a long ass film, but I do like it.
Yeah.
It's a long ass film. But I'm asking for the people who are listening to go a little bit outside the normal range of films here and think about 12 Monkeys, because a lot of people haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
And it's maybe not his greatest film, but the acting performances, probably more from Brad Pitt than Bruce Willis, to be honest. But still, Bruce Willis does a really, really good role.
Yeah.
And it's...
Why are you laughing at, Simon?
It's a film that'll make you think. It's a film
that won't win. I've got a feeling. People, I don't know what it is. I don't know. I think it's got to... If it wins, it's worth 2 points. To your tally,
it's a little bit out the ordinary.
Don't say that.
It's a little bit out the ordinary. 12 Monkeys, and that's why it's worth it for the performances. I think
brave choice. I applaud that, because you're not just and to be honest, any of us could have gone for Die Hard, which would have won, I'm pretty sure, or Pulp Fiction. But he's not really a big player in Pulp Fiction, so we'll have to see what John goes for. If he goes for an easy option, or.
I just think that Bruce Willis in 12 Monkeys, he has to be outside his normal roles that he plays, right, and okay. he just has to be a little bit different. Although you'll see if you've watched it, you've seen it, I think, so.
Yeah.
I think it is Brad Pitt that probably steals the show,
right.
But he still plays a really good part in it. I think he got awarded for a few best actors in that as well,
mm-hmm.
in that film, 12 Monkeys.
Good stuff. That's our crew review selection sorted. We'll do the voting as soon as the crew review video goes up on YouTube, and we'll have all watched the winner by next episode. And we'll do a little classic review here.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
Is it now time to go to bed, Simon? Not with me.
Oh, I thought you had an invitation there.
No, you're going to go home. But
yeah, I am absolutely shattered.
Yeah. And we just sat here and ate all the sweets I bought for the trick or treaters.
That was for the trick or treaters.
No way.
Well, yeah,
there's a few left, but not many.
Why would I buy me a big bowl of?
Well, actually, I thought you were being generous towards us.
No,
I thought you were being a horse.
You're not worth Mars bars and Twixes.
You lighting that pumpkin in your window at Halloween is just going to be like a beacon to all the kids in the local area.
That's true. And I'm not. Yeah.
As soon as you open that door, you're going to get mugged.
That's especially in this street.
That's a guaranteed. That's guaranteed.
There'll just be a load of chavs in jackets with like some cheap mask on. You're not getting out for that.
The best one we've ever had was a lad turned up the door with. It was clearly 16 because his balls had just dropped, and he came knocking at the door.
He had his balls out.
His balls had dropped. And it was just a bin bag. He had a bin bag over his head.
The classic bin bag.
With two eyes ripped into it. Yeah. He just went,
trick or treat.
Was it a white bin bag? Was it a white bin bag? No, it's a black bin bag.
A black bin bag.
What is he? A shadow?
I think he was Thursday's rubbish collection.
Wow.
He was terrible. I was like, no, mate.
Yeah, I forgot about my coffee.
No, mate. He just...
I think the worst one I had was just pull your coat above your thing and then zip it up. Walk around with your coat above your head.
So you've got no head.
Got no head.
Honestly, we take the kids out trick-or-treating nearly every year now, and like this, the teenagers that are out with unreal.
Yeah.
As soon as they see like us with kids that are properly dressed up for trick-or-treating, Daisy Little Pumpkin, Millie's a witch, and Ollie's a zombie pirate, you know what I mean? As soon as they walk up, right, the kids see, they go, that one's in, quick lads, get across the road. Yeah. Zip! Yeah. Bin back on.
Yeah. It's very much an American tradition, this, isn't it? It's getting bigger and bigger.
Try to market it more and more each year over here, because it's money to be made.
Yeah, and all like, it's starting to get an older audience now, because it used to just all be kids, didn't it, going out trick-or-treating, and now... You've got all these lasses dressing as slutty nurses and Harley Quinn.
Well, it was in the news, wasn't it? That some of the stars were had very revealing outfits for kids. Which I completely agree, because we went into a shop in the town and we're looking for Millie. And it was advertised as a zombie schoolgirl. But actually, it was more of a just a punk rock girl chick look. But the skirt would have just barely covered the backside. I was like, she's not wearing that.
Yeah, no.
She's 9. She's not wearing that. Yeah.
They're all really cheap costumes, aren't they? From like China and like they're all really tacky kind of.
Don't sit next to anybody having a fag because you might end up going up. What?
I dressed up last year. I'm not doing that this year apart from my amazing pumpkin.
Do you know what? I missed that Halloween party that we had a few years back. No way, I dressed up as a zombie and I had like prosthetics.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that. Yeah.
We need to do a house party.
That was, like, that was 6 years ago.
That was at John's house.
6 years.
6 years.
It popped up on...
Was that the one where I was a cowboy or Santa Claus?
Santa Claus.
DJing as Santa Claus.
At a Halloween party.
At a Halloween party.
I went to that one.
Playing Christmas songs.
I was that zombie policeman. The one where Anth turned up dressed up as John.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was a cowboy at that one.
Oh, hang on. Oh, yeah, I was a prisoner.
Yes.
I turned up as a prisoner. It was at John and Claire's.
Yeah.
Gem and Graham's. I rocked up a bit in a zombie outfit.
Yeah, him turning up with John's face on was excellent.
In a Newcastle top.
He had a few, didn't he? We all got his face on.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want something scary, then...
Turn up as John.
Sorry, John. You know he's listening to this and hating every moment of it.
Yeah.
Because he can't vent. He'll be sat in his car just like... And no one can hear you scream.
I can just imagine, you know, like if it was actually getting filmed, but as the camera panned out, you'd just see his car rocking because he's there angry. He's like...
No, we do miss you, John, and we look forward to having you back in the next podcast. Yeah. Do you agree? No one else agrees. No one cares. I do.
Less swearing.
Yeah, that's true.
Janet's officially, apparently you've got a potty mouth.
Yeah, we've only had one swear word in this podcast.
One swear word. That's allowed. That's all right. And that was in a review sense, so I was kind of like just trying to get my point across, trying to be powerful. Powerful, persuasive words. Isn't that right, Dean?
Yes.
Positive, powerful, and persuasive.
The three P's.
The three P's. Something from our job. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. If you don't already, you can find us on Twitter at popcorn_media. We're on Facebook at Popcornography. Look for the red power button. We're on Instagram, YouTube, your mum's.
Whoa!
You've got one. Do you shout your handle out?
Popcornmedia_Sai for Twitter.
Lovely. And Dean, you've got a... What is it?
Carrier Pigeons Outback.
And Building Society.
And Smoke Signals.
Yeah.
The bat symbol.
The bat symbol. I've got a torch with a big D on.
The big D. Dean takes notice. They need me.
They need me now.
The D symbol.
Oh, God.
I've got an interview lined up for the next podcast. And also...
Is it you again?
Well, I'll keep everything. We've got next round of the movie theme tune quiz. Thank you very much for listening. I've been Rick.
Goodbye. I've been Simon. Until right now.
I've been Dino. Big D.
Big D.
Big D.
See you later.